Hi, Paul Slackus. All right, I'm here with actually George. I met George Grecho a long time ago, doing some outreach and some peace things and trying to make the world a nice place. And George, a great musician, he's going to be part of our Peace Day show. You're going to hear a little bit of his performing on the show. And now we have Tucker Bittercomb. Hi, Tucker. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Good to be with you.
Tucker, I'm being introduced to you through George, who's living down here in Nashville now, and he sent me a piece that I believe you created. It's called the Greatest Ships, and we've been involved with a buddy named Reed Stowe, who we're going to show right after this, who traveled around the world on a ship that he built and his family. And Tucker, give us a little reason why we're in Nashville. Are you next to the ocean?
Oh no, we are very landlocked. I can remember going out for sushi one night and hearing a person complain to the sushi chef asking, "Is it fresh? Is it fresh?" And I wanted to say, "Lady, we're 2 days away from the ocean in any direction. Like, it's only as fresh as the truck can keep it." No, we you know, I'm a New Yorker transplanted to Nashville, a choral musician. I have a collegiate position at Vanderbilt University, which is in Nashville, top 20 academic institution. And then I, in normal times, hold a second position as the director of the Nashville Symphony Chorus, which is a all-volunteer chorus, 170 members. That is the vocal arm of the Nashville Symphony Orchestra. Of course, just like almost every other orchestra in the country, we are on furlough at this particular moment. And, you know, it's become a difficult time for my fellow colleagues in the orchestra trying to find as best work as they can. But luckily, we're in a city, you know, that we refer to as Music City. So there's a lot of gigging and a lot of things where you can sort of keep that going. But, you know, I wanted to, on the furlough, I wanted to keep the chorus together as best I could. So we were doing some Zoom rehearsals and things like that, and just some social gatherings, just maintaining that emotional connection that they have with one another and with the music. And I thought there wasn't really a better way to do it than for us to perform together again. But of course, we can't be together. Actually, singing is one of the most dangerous activities that we can engage in this COVID-19 environment, because technically singers are super spreaders. When we're singing, we're engaging those muscles and we're sending particles and aerosols further than if you would normally talking or even playing a trumpet or things like that. So everybody's got to stay masked when we're together. There's got to be 6 to 10 feet of radius around us. And that does not comport with putting 170 people up in a choral loft and doing Mahler 2 or Beethoven 9. So because we were restricted to this, there was a piece I wrote a few years ago called The Greatest Ship. It was for a community chorus, actually, in Tallahassee, where I lived before I moved to Nashville. And they commissioned me on their 30th anniversary. And I was walking through a thrift shop one day, and I saw this billboard. You know, it's like it was an old thing. It had been painted, hand-painted on wood. And the line was, "Let us praise great ships. Let us praise tall ships. All the ships at sea, but remember the greatest ship is friendship." And I was simultaneously sort of amused and moved by that little moniker, because, you know, we've all seen the kitten posters in workplaces, like, "Hang in there," and it had that sort of emotional concomitant. But it also had something really powerful, and especially about community choruses. There's this sense of camaraderie that George can attest to that I've been trying to build ever since I became the director 5 years ago now. And this piece sort of speaks to that emotional connection that we want to keep alive. So I made a video on YouTube of the music scrolling through and me conducting. I sent it out to all the chorus members. I got about half of the chorus members to send me back a video, which was great return, because technology is a scary thing to a lot of people. And then I took it and I sort of made a composite, first an audio file, and then I put everybody's video in together, used some B-roll of ships sailing on the sea and the ocean and things like that, and just tried to create something that we could all be proud of. And I think the singers were really moved by it. I think it was a great way for us to maintain that connection. Even if we're apart, we can still be together.
Oh, wow. Geez, beautifully stated and beautifully considered and considerate of the times of your community during this times, keeping everybody together. Because it's we all know what it is right now. It's a very stressful time. It's a time without our loved ones and our close friends, by far.
In fact, it's gotten in the way of our vocations, but it's also gotten in the way of our social fabric, you know, and that's the thing. Like, nobody in this chorus does it for any money. There's no money in it. You know, I mean, nobody gets a check. We don't have any hired singers. And it is like a part-time job. You know, when we have a concert week, George can attest to this. They're there Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night concert, Saturday concert, Sunday concert, and then it's over. You know, like that's a 40-hour work week in itself. And even volunteers can't sort of have that connection with others that they crave so much. So this was a small way to try and keep those little fibers of connection together.
You know, I'll take a second or two more here, because I have sung in a choir, and I even have sung New Year's Eve in St. John the Divine, and I love that whole, well, first of all, I love music, and I love an orchestra, and I love the whole, everything, you know, larger groups all together. Even I did the Brain series on PBS, worked on that, and we started with Michael Tilson Thompson's raising his hands as a conductor, and all of a sudden he lowers his hands and 110 people play. So it's the same thing with you. You're the conductor, and you raise your hands and 110 or however many, how many people are in your choir?
170 people in the choir.
170, only 170 people will all sing, all if that's what the piece calls for, at the same time. It's a miracle, right? It's a miracle by far. How do you feel like when you're the leader? Because that of unto itself is some form of a peaceful opportunity of man slash woman communicating with each other. What's your feeling as a conductor overseeing that?
Well, you know, first of all, the idea that enough people would be watching me to all come in at the same time when I drop my hands as a conductor is sort of the dream. And in a little self-deprecating manner, there's not much worth to watch. So it's really the teaching that happens during that time that's the most important thing. I got to tell you, you know, some people play the violin, some people play baseball. You know, I play the choir. And it's what I try to, you know, that sort of weaving that instrument through me. And there's so little you can do with your hands. There's a lot of messages that you can send with your face. But really, the hard work happens in those hours of rehearsal. When we are sitting there, we're marking our score, we're doing things again and again and again, aiming for perfection. We're adjusting in the moment the first time we hear the orchestra, and we have to either really power out the sound or get the sound as quiet as possible, increase those consonants. You know, in the orchestra rehearsals, that's the most exciting time for me because I'm actually not conducting. My colleague Giancarlo Guerrero becomes the conductor. And I sit out in the dark audience and hold up my iPad with little things like more T or harder X or more piano. And the chorus always chuckles, and the members of the members of the orchestra always chuckle because they can see it out of the corner of their eye. But I don't really get to stop them. I will say, when I'm just conducting the chorus myself, or when I have the opportunity to conduct the chorus in the orchestra, you know, you would think it's this great sort of feeling of power, but actually, I have a servant's mentality when I'm trying to conduct the orchestra and the chorus. It's less about my glory at that moment. One of the things that I love the most about being a conductor is that no one is clapping for me. Everyone is clapping for the singers and the choir. Everyone's clapping for the orchestra. And I get to do this wonderful thing where I step aside and gesture to them, and that applause goes past me. So I feel like I'm trying to serve them by creating the music that we've worked so hard to perfect.
You know, let me ask George a question here, because George is a member of the choir, correct?
This George, is correct.
Do you also play the piano sometimes with the choir, or not?
Do I? No.
No, okay. So as a member of the choir, how does it feel to be in a 170-person choir? On this specific piece, The Greatest Ship, how did it feel?
I have enjoyed every piece that Tucker brought to the mix, and I've enjoyed every choir that I've been in. And I also have deep appreciation for the music. It's fascinating music. Tucker is a great composer, a great pianist, you know, a great musician, a great instrumentalist, and most important, a great human being. So, you know, this is about a combination of human beings and 170 people together at the same time in such a short amount of time, even though it's once a week, or like he said, Tucker said, 7 days a week during performance time. That's a lot of people in one short amount of time and a relatively small space to be working together on a very high level of art. Just the nature of singing in itself is not a natural act. It's something that takes a lot of rehearsal. It is an instrument. The voice is an instrument in this case. It's equal to that of any of the instruments of the orchestra. And there are many musicians in this Nashville Symphony Chorus because it's a combination of peoples from different parts of the world. Let's say New York, for example, Chicago, myself, LA, and who've performed with very high level organizations prior to this. And so for me, it's a way to rehearse the music in a different way I wouldn't have, and from a completely different perspective. So it of course is a great feeling to be in the midst of an orchestra, the Nashville Symphony, an A conductor, Giancarlo, an A plus choral director and composer like Tucker. I'm saying this from a selfish point of view because that influences my music. You know, if I would consider myself anything first, it would be an improviser, but there's improvisation in composed music and composition in improvised music. In other words, for example, Tucker was influenced by the Monogram, The Greatest Ship, and he composed this piece. That was an improvisational process. I would consider another ship that he is very astute at, which is leadership, not only of music, but of humanity, because here we have a person leading all these people, and he brings a level of compassion, a level of empathy, a level of understanding, and a level of knowing what we need and what not only the conductor wants to get across, but what the composer wants to get across and how to best communicate that as one voice with 170 people being that one voice singing in that moment, you know, with the nuances, the character of the piece, the story of the piece, of course, all the rest of it that's involved. So it's a real great, I mean, I've been singing professionally for, I don't know, 40 years in a lot of different groups. And I'm happy to be a part of this. And I'm sad that we're not able to continue at this time. But, you know, this is why we had this virtual recording that we put together. And I'm happy about that.
All right. Tucker, give a lead in to the piece right now. Why it's peace. Why your piece is peace.
Well, we start out with, singing pretty loud about all the great tall ships and all the great battleships and things like that. But then the denouement describes this, a sense of thankfulness that they're harbored, that these ships are not out fighting wars, that hopefully we'll never uncork those cannons, that, you know, we built these great weapons of destruction. We put them on the water, which is really a symbol of peace, which is the ultimate irony. And what we hope is that they stay in their slips, is that they stay in their moorings, that we never have to use these great sort of majestic things that have turned into weapons, which really, you know, began the great global migration. So it's my hope that, anybody who's in charge of those things can remember that the greatest ship is indeed friendship and collaboration and leadership. And it's hopefully, this piece reflects that sort of hope, this American hope that we create these things and we just hope we never have to use them.
I'm so much with you. Thank you so much, both of you. George, thank you for introducing me to Tucker. I see what a great man he is as well, as you are, George. And And we're gonna go to Reed, another great man, and Sonia, whose desire to help a man slash woman learn how to live on the water. Right? Here's our hugger planet, right? We got a lot of water here, you know, and unfortunately, some of this water is coming into the land that is actually pumped up, you know, from underneath the water. You know, everything was under the water. Now it's up here, so we're on what we say solid footing. Yeah, right. All right, we're flying away in outer space. Okay, so Reed might be the one we're walking to jump on his ship if we get too much water everywhere. And so it's all good. I love what you've done with the ships. You know, we have the Intrepid here that's used for many in Manhattan and New York. You know, used for education and for peace and hope and inspiration and so on and so forth. So, great job. Thank you so much, both of you, for sharing your peace and your friendship with the greatest ship and your skills and talents and good thoughts. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Paul. Thanks,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.